Hey, e-commercers, it's Matt here. Now, if you're a regular to the show, you'll remember a great episode I recorded with a chap called Oliver Spock, who's the guy behind taking the White Company from 6 million in turnover to over 50 million in sales by focusing in on the data that mattered. Now, Oliver went on to start a company called Suite Analytics, which is a customer data platform like no other, as it was born in the real world as Oliver tried to drive these sales. So I was pretty curious about that platform after our podcast, and I've had a good look around it. Now, I know that KPIs are a bit of a nightmare because there are so many of the darn things, aren't there? So I keep it pretty simple. I want to know how many customers we have, what their average order value is, and how often they buy from us. These three things help me keep a track of lifetime value and grow our company. Well, if I'm honest, I loved how I could do that in Suite. And I especially loved how it tells me how many new customers I need to reach my sales goals and also how much I can spend on acquiring them. All very helpful stuff. So, drumroll please. The amazing news is that we have worked with Suite to bring you a version of their platform that I love. I've been working with them on what data it gives you. So when I say I can recommend it to you, I really can. Now, if you want to know more about it, head over to ecommercepodcast.net/Suite. That's Sweet, and check it out. You get 80% off your first month to try it out for you, see if it fits. It's just $50 a month thereafter, which is an absolute bargain if you ask me. It will integrate with Shopify and grow with your business. Or if you need custom integrations like me, they can help with that too. So visit ecommercepodcast.net/suite and check it out now. Well, hello and welcome to the e-commerce podcast with me, your host, Matt Edmondson. Now, the e-commerce podcast is a show all about helping you deliver e-commerce. Wow. Yes, it is. It's here to help. It's here. It's part of the e-commerce life now to be a member, a regular subscriber of the show. And to help us today, we're going to be chatting with Leandro De Elia from 8X. About numbers and strategy, about bridging the two things together in such a way that actually drives real e-commerce success, which, let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, is what we're all interested in. Yes, it is. We all want a little bit of that, don't we? At least I do. Now, so grab your notebooks, grab your pens. It's going to be fun. But of course, before we get into that, let me just take a few moments to say a big warm welcome to all our new listeners. If this is your first time with us on the e-commerce podcast, stoked you're here, man. Really, really stoked. It's awesome that you've taken the time to listen to us. And the show is growing. And so if you'll keep coming back, also a big warm welcome to you. Really, really excited that you're here. You know what? Every week I look at the numbers and I'm always super proud. They're going up and up and up. And I love that. I totally love that. So thank you for being part of the e-commerce podcast. Thank you for being with us. Now, today's show is brought to you by the e-commerce cohort. This is our monthly membership group where you can join us, come join in some fun around e-commerce. We have expert workshops in there. We've got all kinds of weird and wonderful things going on. Like you get to watch the recording of a podcast live. You get to ask the guests your questions. You know, all those kind of cool things. So do check out e-commerce cohort if you haven't done so already. Great to see you in there at ecommercecohort.com. Oh, yes, that's ecommercecohort.com. Now, let's talk about today's guest then, Leandro. Oh, yes. Let's just say he's in Argentina because that's where he actually is, which is surprised me a little bit. But I'm just loving the fact this is a global e-commerce podcast. Oh, yes. So from guiding e-commerce ventures through financial minefields, We've all been in those minefields, let's face it. To crafting innovative financial blueprints, he is a charismatic finance professional, reshaping narratives and turning clicks into legacy building revenue. With a knack for precision budgeting and strategic loan sourcing, Leandro's journey spans from multinational corporations to spearheading financial strategies for an array of pioneering companies like AlphaPor and SENE. I'm not even sure what that company is, but I'm sure it's very, very good. Anyway, it's great to have you on the show, Leandro. How are we doing?
Hi, Matt. It's nice to meet you. Thank you for having me here. Thank you for the intro. But yeah, I'm really glad to be sitting here and talking to you.
Super good. All the way from Argentina. No doubt. Yes. Whereabouts in Argentina?
Far away from you. I'm around 40 kilometers away from the capital of Buenos Aires.
Okay.
Like living in the countryside.
Living in the countryside of Argentina can't be a bad thing. I dare say that at the time of recording, the weather is much better. Well, it doesn't matter any time of the year, I suppose. The weather's going to be always much better for you than it is for me in cold, dreary
Probably.
England right now, right?
Although it's raining today, but yeah.
It's raining, but it's still 30 degrees outside, right?
Yeah, it's amazing how hot it is.
Oh, I think it's like 4 degrees here today or something crazy. It's very, very different. So I'm slightly envious. You know what? In all my years of traveling, I've only ever traveled through Argentina. I've never actually stayed there. And it's definitely on mine and my wife's bucket list to go back. We traveled through Buenos Aires when we went to Uruguay for a little while. We went there to visit with some friends. And I'm just a big fan of South America. The whole continent, just amazing. So have you always
Make
been
sure
in
to
Argentina?
Let me know when you're here.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Sorry?
Have you always been in Argentina? Have you...
Yes. Born and raised here, but I like to travel around the world. So every time I can, I take a plane and go visit somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Why would
been
you not?
Been to London one time. But yeah, definitely I need to go to Italy right now.
Oh, love Italy. Love it, love it, love it. So before we get into e-commerce, let's deal with the elephant in the room, football. There's always a big thing. I don't know if it's the same in Argentina, but when England and Argentina play, it's always a big thing because there's a lot of fans in England who have very long memories with Maradona handballing, calling the handball the hand of God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, so you are familiar with the story. Okay, good.
Yes.
I was just kind of curious because obviously it's a big deal here, that whole thing from, I think it was 1986, and I remember it, you know, I was 13 at the time. But I just assumed it was an England thing, you know, just England not getting over it.
It's about the whole history between the two countries. You have the Malvinas War, you have Maradona's goal, but I think every time that Argentina and England play, it's going to be like a classic match,
yeah,
where everyone think it's a war thing, when at the end of the day it's just a football game. I definitely it's one of our classic rivals,
yeah,
and it's both of them are really good football teams. So yeah. The good thing is that we were champions last 2022, so
yeah,
it was since 1986, it was a big day for us. I don't know if you saw the newspapers, but I think 5 million people were in the streets.
Yeah, crazy.
It was
you crazy. Guys know how to party, right, when there was a big celebration.
It's a religion here. Football is the main thing here in Argentina.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Well, you had Messi, didn't you, in there, and winning the cup, the World Cup, and all that. The story behind that was all quite wonderful.
Yes.
And so, loved it. Loved that whole season. Obviously, was never a big fan of the hand of God. But what can you do?
What I say is, I'm a big fan of the second goal, which is probably one of the best goals in the history of football.
Yeah.
So I think he was able to to say, okay, I did the goal with one hand, but then I did the best.
The best goal ever.
Goal of the history.
Yeah. No, I remember the run very well. You just like, you knew what was coming. So, yeah. Very good. And when you said it's just football, I think half the audience that listens to the show would have gone, yes, you're right. And the other half of the audience would go, how dare you say
Trying
that?
Wants to kill me, but no, I mean, I'm a big fan of football, don't get me wrong. But yeah, it's oddly, it's weird, or I'm every time that I see these kind of things, I'm shocked about how people react about a football game.
Yeah.
If my team loses here in Argentina, maybe people don't even go to work.
Yeah,
So it's crazy how we react to a football game, and I probably that's coming from Italy and also from England, because I don't know if there are too many countries that live football the way we do.
Mm.
England, Italy, probably Spain, France,
yeah.
But then you don't see that
on
any other country.
Yeah.
So
to me,
I like to watch football games and I shout and I want my team to win, but sadly I'm not the other half that says I cry and I go crazy if my team loses.
Yeah, life still carries on. It's okay. We haven't given up the hope of living. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you. It's one of those. So let's talk about e-commerce. I mean, you know, it's the e-commerce podcast. We should probably talk about something to do with e-commerce, I suppose. But
that's fascinating.
Although football's very, very fascinating. Now, we've had on the show, if you're a regular listener to the show, you may remember Matt Petra was on the show a few months ago from 8X. You and Matt worked together.
Yes.
And have been working together in 8X. And so you're both CFOs, you're both chief finance officers, you're both finance whiz kids, you both love numbers, spreadsheets, and almost as much as you love football, I'm guessing. But, you know, it's one of those things where for
sadly,
many
yes.
people... Yes, sadly. Excellent. I was going to say, it's one of those things where I think I spend probably a quarter of my life in looking at data, you know, spreadsheets and numbers and things like that. But I can't say as I've ever really enjoyed it. And one of the things I've always struggled with, Leandro, was what numbers to look at. And then when Matt came on, he talked about creating a spreadsheet called the blended ROAS document. And he talked through how to create the blended ROAS and how this was should be the one number you focus on. And I have to be honest with you, since that show, I have created said spreadsheet and I look at it religiously. And so, you know, shout out to Matt for that, because it's been very, very helpful.
Glad you could help.
Yeah, yeah. It's been really good in some of our conversations as well, and just in tracking marketing and how well we're doing and stuff. So where did your love of numbers come from? Was this from when you were a kid, or did you get a bang on the head when you were in your late teenage years?
No, since I was a kid, I was a big fan, or I wouldn't say a big fan, but I find myself doing really good at math.
Mm.
And it was easy for me to do calculations and stuff. Then I went ahead and studied industrial engineer.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm talking about e-commerce and financing stuff. I'm an industrial engineer, so that's my calculation side of it. But yeah, I like numbers, and usually, probably because I'm an engineer, I like to understand my decisions based on facts.
Yeah.
And in this case, facts are numbers.
Yeah.
The numbers don't lie, and we try to create a story out of what we're seeing.
Yeah.
So I think that the answer to the question is I like to back my decisions on trends, on data, on numbers, and that's why we do all this kind of analysis, the blended ROAS and things like that, because we want to understand, not because of what we think or you don't get me wrong, usually the gut feeling, it's always or usually right.
Mm.
But if we say, okay, I get the sense of we're going in this direction or that direction, if we can look at the numbers and confirm that, probably it's going to be way better. And you go and do the thing with much more confidence.
Yeah.
I think that's the main difference. When you do something just because you think it's going to be a good or a bad thing, rather than when you do something knowing, because you analyzed all the information and you see the trends and things like that, probably it's a psychological thing, but I think that you do it with much more confidence.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's very true. And I love that because I think, you know, your industrial engineering background, engineers like to understand things, don't they? They like to understand how things work, how to put things together in a way that makes sense. And
since I was a little kid, I was the kid standing right next to the electrician in my house,
right,
asking, why do you do this? Why do you do that? I'm that kind of person. I love to ask why.
Yeah.
I know that it's something, it's annoying, but yeah, I'm usually asking why this, why that.
Yeah,
why until I understand.
Yeah,
I don't stop asking.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great mind to have, actually, the curious mind. I think if you're curious, you tend to do well, you know, and you just keep asking questions, and whenever we stop being curious, I think that's when we get maybe a little bit too judgmental, or maybe just a little bit too sure of ourselves. I don't know. Either one. So when we were talking before we hit the record button, you mentioned how when you sit down and talk with clients, there's a couple of common problems that they have. And the main one being, and I thought this was interesting coming from a CFO, right? The main problem being that they don't know what they want. They don't know what the goal is. What do you mean by that?
The thing about that is, I know, but that being a CFO, it's not usually the question that you get asked from a CFO. And probably that's my engineering talking, but usually what I see is that we think we know what we want to achieve or where we're going to want to get. But we don't know how to get there, or we don't know what tools we need, what resources we need. And that's usually one of my first talks when I'm onboarding a new client. Mm-hmm. What I try to understand is, what do you want to achieve here? I know that we are talking about a company selling something, and the first thing that we should want is profitability. You would be shocked about how many clients don't even say the word profitability first.
So, I wouldn't be, I don't think. Maybe, I don't know. What do they say first?
They want to achieve X amount of $1 million in revenue. They want to sell X amount of units. They want to be the best ones selling X service in the market, which I get it, it's great. But I think that the what I try to tell them or give them at the beginning is organization. Let's get your ideas organized and use any framework that you would like to use. There's something called EOS. There are a bunch of tools to understand strategy, most for e-commerce company or startups. That's why I mentioned EOS. It's one of the tools we use. But the thing is, let's get organized. What do you want? Of course, my goal is going to make you profitable and make you profitable in a healthy way. So that you don't waste all your money. But then let's say you want to achieve a $10 million revenue. That's great. Now, my line of questioning is going to be, how do you want to get there? How many units do you need to sell to get there? To understand even if that's feasible. And then let me worry about the numbers in terms of financing, in terms of how much money should we spend on advertising based on that blended ROAS. Because if you want to achieve $10 million and you want to spend $1,000 in marketing, probably you're not going to get there unless you have a super efficient marketing agency.
In which case, we want them on the show, right? We need to talk to these people. Yeah.
But yeah, that's when I come to the game and try to align your goal with a proper strategy and make it feasible.
Why do you think just to clarify, you mentioned EOS, which stands for, is it, as long as I'm talking about the same EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System.
Yes.
Which is, it's based on a book, isn't it? I can't remember the name of the book now. But it's just a really interesting
there
framework.
There are a couple of them.
Yeah.
One is called Traction. The other one is the EOS System, which is a book itself. I love the system. And I think it's a good way to put a name to some of the things that you probably are currently doing.
Yes.
Like all of us set up goals in the long term, in the short term, but we don't know why we're doing them.
Yeah.
Or we don't have the proper framework to do it.
Yeah.
This system, what it does, mainly for small companies or companies that are just starting or are not big companies, is that it gives them a tool to put a name to everything that they need to do.
Yeah.
And to get them organized. Like I said, it's like, let's set up the yearly goal. We want to achieve this, but then let's set up quarterly goals. Let's set up KPIs, OKRs, mm-hmm. So that you're aligned and you don't work for the yearly goal. Mm-hmm. You work to achieve the quarterly goals that you know if you achieve them, you're going to get closer to the yearly goal.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's a great tool to know what you're doing and put a name to the things that you currently are doing right now. For you're mumbling around and maybe you don't prioritize things that you need to do to be aligned to the main goal.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've read the book. I've read all of his books actually. The EOS books, great book. Especially if you need some kind of framework for your business to understand it, is a great
highly
book.
Recommend. So,
and the name of the author will come back to me at some point. I've got it up on the screen here in front of me. Actually, the actual model where he talks about vision, people, data, issues, processes, and then what he calls traction, and that's the sort of the six elements he sort of thinks about. Why do you think, just going back to something you said earlier, why do you think when you ask most people who run an online business, and I'm smiling because I think this is probably a very true truism, when you ask most people that run an online business, what's your goal? And the goal is always related to a turnover. And usually that turnover figure is, I want to get to 100,000, I want to hit 1 million, I want to hit 5 million, I want to hit 10 million. Do you know what I mean? There's sort of these standard numbers that everybody wants to hit. I've never really heard anybody come back and say, I want to make £1 million profit. Or I've never really heard people say, I want to do 2.376 million next year in turnover. Do you know what I mean? It's always, I want to grow by 20%. Always these sort of random numbers that people throw out. Why is that? Why are we so concerned about the big turnover number?
I think that if I have to give you my opinion of that, is that usually we tend to associate revenue to profit.
Right.
So and that's probably what we hear in the TV or even when we hear about, I don't know, Apple just released their Q3 statements and they don't say they achieved this or that revenue or profit or this or that ratio or KPI. Usually what they say is they increase revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And for the non-financial persons, anything that they can talk about when it comes to numbers of any company, the first thing that you talk about is revenue. Mm-hmm. How much money you sold. So my guess is that they tend to associate that to profit. And the big difference about that is that you could be selling $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
Of any kind of product. You also could be spending $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point of having a business and saying out there, I'm selling $10 million when you're actually not making any dime?
Mm.
So I guess that the main to answer that is we tend to associate revenue with profit.
Mm.
So if you're selling $10 million, probably you're making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the initial thing that
that's the assumption, isn't it? If I've got a £10 million or $10 million turnover, then yes, I'm going to hopefully be making some kind of profit. When you, and I appreciate this is going to vary from industry to industry, right? But if I was starting out in e-commerce and I'm thinking I'm going to set up an online business, if I turned over, say, $1 million in revenue, what would be a typical gross profit margin and what would be a typical net profit margin that I should think about or aim for?
If you're just starting, probably you will want to, all the money that you're making, probably you're going to reinvest that money to grow the business. So I would aim first to break even. There are many businesses that I know that in the first probably year or 6 months, they're not going to break even. So you need to assume that probably in the first 6 months to 12 months, you're going to need money to grow your business. Then depending on the type of product, and like you said, it's going to vary between each industry. What I would try to aim for in e-commerce is at least have a more than 65-70% gross margin to begin with. And when I say gross margin, I'm only talking about net revenue less cost of goods sold.
Right.
I'm not talking about how much money you're spending on advertising, on payment processing fees, on commissions, on any other variable costs.
Yeah.
Gross margin is just net revenue less cost of goods sold. And then at least try to aim for a great net profit margin would be 20-30%. But knowing that at the beginning you're going to grow, you're going to want to grow your business, I would say try to 5-10%, so that at least you're making some money, and then reinvest everything into growing your business.
How do you? I'm just thinking here as you're talking. If I was starting an e-commerce business today, which ironically I'm just about to launch one, but I appreciate I'm launching my next e-commerce business from a very different place. I already have staff, I have warehouses. Do you know what I mean? We've got a great team. I appreciate I'm not in a kitchen working a side hustle here trying to figure out what's going on.
Let me know if you need a CFO.
Yeah, I will. We've got a very good one, but if that changes, I'll let you know. But with someone who is starting out, I guess one of the big things to think about, and maybe you can talk to this a little bit, how do I know when I can pay myself, right? How do I know when I can actually take money out of this?
To address that, what I would say is don't expect to pay yourself 50K a month, because you're starting an e-commerce company. You're not starting at a Coca-Cola company. I know that you're going to be the CEO and that's a great name to say out there. Like, I'm the CEO of this company, which is great. And I'm pretty sure that if with a good product, you're going to achieve the multi-million dollar or pound revenue. But what I would say there is, if you don't have a side work and you're putting all your eggs in this company, which I wouldn't advise you to do it, let's try to pay yourself whatever you need to live. Because this is going to be your child. And you want your child to succeed. And so expect at the beginning to put a bit more effort money-wise to your child instead of yourself. So I would say, yes, you want to get paid a lot of money because this is your company and you're the CEO, but going back to what we talked at the beginning, the main thing that you need to worry first is about profitability. If that means that you don't get paid, then you shouldn't get paid. Why? Because your main goal should be profitability. Then we can talk about your salary. And that's probably one of the main issues that I find with CEOs. They get paid. I have a bunch of clients that probably are making couple of million dollars yearly revenue. They're not profitable, but you see that they get paid $30K a month.
Wow.
And you're like, wow. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, everyone wants to get paid that monthly salary, but that shouldn't be your first goal.
Yeah.
Your first goal should be profitability, then scale the business, and then we can discuss about how much money you want to get paid.
Yeah.
Because eventually this is going to be your company. So if you succeed, it's a ramp up.
Yeah.
5 years from now, probably you're going to get paid more than 50K a month.
Yeah.
But don't do it right now.
Yeah. There's always
with the business.
There's always an interest in opportunity cost, isn't there, where money is concerned, I find. That
totally.
We understand that if we have, say, a blended ROAS of, I'm going to say 5, right? Because it's just easy math. So I know for every pound or every dollar I leave in the business, I'm getting 5 back, right? It's just the way it works. There's an opportunity cost. I was talking to this with our team the other day that when we overspend on something over here, we think it's okay, but we're probably spending a bit more money over here. If I took that same money and invested it in new customer acquisition, I would get, I think I worked out, you know, we would get an extra 700 new customers a month, which was an extra 75 grand in revenue. So it's a big deal, I think, you know, in terms of, especially when you start out, because it's a bit like a pension fund, isn't it? The sooner you start, the more money you make in the yes. in the long run. But the sooner you start, the sooner it starts to hurt. And I think delaying financial gratification now for the benefit of a future payday, the sooner you can do that in e-commerce, the better it is. And understanding the opportunity cost of the money. So if I'm taking 10 grand out of the business that month, but I only need 3 grand to live, well, it's cool. I've got an extra 7 grand. I can do whatever I want. I can put it in the bank account and do whatever I like. Give it away to charity. You know, there's all kinds of things that you can do with that money. But the reality of it is there's also an opportunity cost to that money. So if you're in a thriving or if you're in a business that's growing and you can get new customers, new customer acquisition, well, 7 grand a month will buy you a lot of new customers, right? So if your cost of acquisition is 20 bucks, then, you know, you're starting to buy 300 odd clients or whatever it's going to be with that money. So it's one of those where I totally get why people want to pay themselves large sums of money. But I think as a business owner, there is this real tension, isn't there? This is real opportunity cost, which you have to be aware of and understanding what else that money would do if you didn't take it.
I think that you said the most important word there, cost of opportunity.
Mm.
Usually, you don't see that. Mm. It's a theoretical calculation. Because if I have 10 pounds and I put them in this place, what people usually don't know, because it's a theoretical calculation, is that how much money am I not losing,
mm-hmm.
but I'm avoiding myself of winning.
Yeah.
So yes, if I can pay myself 10 pounds and I only need 3, what's the cost of opportunity of the 7 pounds that I'm overpaying myself?
Mm.
If I put them on the business, and maybe you can get, the thing is, maybe I can get a better return, personally speaking.
Yeah.
So, but again, going back to the strategy is what's your main goal? Grow yeah. the business. So if you're getting a positive return on your company and that $7 means that you're going to get 700 customers more, that it's going to give you X amount of profit, there's no reason for you to pay yourself 10, mm. 10 pounds. Mm. Pay yourself 3 and reinvest the other 7.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, like you said, the cost of opportunity is usually what the non-financial people don't know how to calculate, don't know how to yeah. factor that in whatever calculation they're making.
Yeah.
And usually that's the main goal. What's the return that I'm getting? Every penny that I have, reinvest it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you want to understand your blended ROAS, because mm. if your current KPI is showing you that your ROAS is 6x, whatever money you have, even your salary, put in that.
No, you totally would.
Because and whatever money you have, keep spending. Until when? Until you see that number going down. If your ROAS is below 5 and that's your threshold, stop spending money. Because you're not getting the return you need. But yeah, that's, I think that you said it perfectly. The cost of opportunity is what people usually don't know how to calculate.
Yeah, no, it's good. Let me go maybe swing the pendulum the other way. So we've talked about people who are starting out paying themselves. Let's talk about people who are maybe thinking of exiting their business, right? So the business is, whatever, 5 years old. They're turning over, I don't know, let's easy maths. Let's say they turn over $1 million a year online and they make a profit of $200,000 a year or something like that. One of the things that has intrigued me is it's a quote that I've heard a couple of times recently where business sales are concerned. And that is, a lot of business owners run their accounts to reduce taxation rather than to increase value of the business. Can you speak to that? What does that mean? And I guess what's your understanding by that if I'm trying to sell the business?
When you try to reduce taxation, what you do usually is you try to put as many expenses as you can on the business so that your net profit, your net income is as low as possible.
Yeah.
Why? Because with that, you're not going to pay a lot of taxes. The thing is, if you want to sell the business, and usually in the e-commerce world, we don't use discounted cash flow valuations. We try to use either an EBITDA multiplier, a revenue multiplier, or any multiplier that the potential buyer may want. So there are two kinds of strategies. One is, when you own the business, it's a legacy thing. You're going to run the business forever. So what you want is to optimize taxation.
Yeah.
And that is, if I can put something this year to pay less taxes and push them forward for next year, I can do it. Whereas if you want to sell the business, you want to make sure that your numbers are as high as possible. So, and I'm not saying doing something illegal or weird. It's just optimization tactics that you can use to increase the value of your EBITDA or decrease it. If you want to sell the business, it's a whole different strategy. You shouldn't care about taxes, because what you want to show is high numbers. And probably same as taxation, you don't want to show high numbers just for the sake of it. And maybe you're doing something weird just to show high numbers.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely there are some things that you can put in the business. I don't know, I'm renting a car.
Yeah.
And maybe I can rent it on my behalf instead of the business. There are many things, but I think that it's two different strategies that can be used depending on you wanting to sell the business or not.
Yeah, no, very good. So it's a very good point, actually, that the value of your business, one of the biggest determinators of it is EBITDA, earnings before interest, depreciation and tax, or something it stands for, isn't it?
Yes.
Amortization, I think, is the A. So your pre-tax profits, you're basically your net profit figure, isn't it, with a few added calculations for tax and so on and so forth. The higher you can make that figure, the more valuable your business is. And in e-commerce at the moment, we're looking at multiples of, let's say, on average, 3, 4, 5, somewhere around there. So if every dollar you can add to the bottom line in profit gives you $5 maybe.
In
an extra sort of sales price. The downside is, of course, you've got to pay tax on that figure, but the tax you pay is whatever it is for your country. I don't know, 10, 20%.
Yeah, and like usually what I tell the clients is it's a good problem to have. Because if you're paying if you're paying a lot of taxes, it means that you're making a lot of money. So yeah, of course, we want to make sure that we can, I wouldn't say reduce, rather than optimize taxation. by changing a few things. But yeah, that's usually a good problem to have, because it means that first you're profitable. Mm-hmm. So the check on that a box, and then it means that probably you're going to be able to pay yourself more. Mm-hmm. So as you see, everything is aligned to what we started talking. Yeah. How do we strategize the business? And most importantly, what's the main goal? Other than profitability, of course.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you want to sell the business, you need it to be profitable. If you want to pay yourself, you need the business to be profitable. So it keeps coming back to this. You've got to build a profitable business. And to build a profitable business is you've really got to get your head around the numbers and don't just look at turnover. You've got to look at some of the other metrics as well, right? And including your blended ROAS and understanding those numbers. Which, of course, if you want to know more about the blended ROAS, check out the Matt Putra episode where he goes through that. Leandro, thank you, man, for coming on the show. I'm aware of time. So any final thoughts on all of this? We've talked about lots of different things. I'm just kind of curious.
First of all, thanks again for the invitation. It was really nice talking to you. Your podcast is amazing, so I really encourage everyone to come listen to all of your podcasts, not just this one.
But start and then, here. Just start. It won't get better, but they'll be good.
But probably the one final thought would be, if you're starting a business or if you want to achieve whatever you want to achieve, make sure that, at least that's my way of approaching this, is make sure that you have fun while doing it. Because, we're talking about numbers, we're talking about money, but in the end, if you're not having fun, it doesn't make sense.
Yes,
I want to start my own company, I want to sell a lot of things, but if I'm not having fun, then what's the point?
Exactly. Very good. That's a mic drop moment. I'll drop my pen because my mic's, I'm not, it's too expensive. Leandro, thanks for coming on the show, man. Listen, if people want to connect with you, if they want to find out more about you, about Matt, about 8X, about all the stuff that you guys are doing, what's the best way to do that?
You can find us through our website, that is 8x.co. You can find me on LinkedIn. Look for my name on LinkedIn and you'll find me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, your headphones have just gone funny.
Sorry.
Oh, there we go.
You can look for my LinkedIn name and you'll find me there on 8x.co.
Awesome. We will, of course, link to Leandro's information in the podcast show notes as well. So do check those out. Follow those links. You can find them all at ecommercepodcast.net. We will link to 8X. We will link to Leandro's LinkedIn stuff. And we'll even link to Matt's episode as well. So you get all of those in one go, because that's just how kind we are. And, of course, I'm assuming that we actually remember to do this. So hopefully the production team are as good as I believe them to be and we get that all sorted out. But there are all the links there. Leandro, thanks for coming on the show. Super, super grateful. Thanks for joining me from Argentina. Thoroughly enjoyable conversation, man. Really, really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Also, a big shout out to today's show sponsor, the e-commerce cohort. Remember to check out that membership group at ecommercecohort.com. I'll see you in there because we're just in there every month. Awesome place to be. And be sure to follow the e-commerce podcast wherever you get your podcast from, because it is great, like Leandro said. It's just such a great show. Even if I do say so myself, not because of me, I hasten to add, but because of the amazing guests that we have, like Matt, like Leandro, like everyone else that's coming on the show. So you're not going to want to miss any of them, that's for sure. And in case no one has told you yet today, let me be the first to tell you, you are awesome. Yes, you are. Created awesome. It's just a burden you've got to bear. Leandro has to bear it. I've got to bear it. You've got to bear it as well. Now, the e-commerce podcast is produced by Orion Media. You can find our entire archive of episodes on your favorite podcast app. The team that makes this show possible is Sadaf Bainon and Tanya Hutzelak. Our theme music was written by Josh Edmondson. And as I mentioned, if you would like to read the show notes, get all the links, the transcripts and all that sort of stuff, head over to the website, ecommercepodcast.com. net, where you can also sign up for the weekly newsletter if you haven't done so already. And all of this stuff just comes straight to your inbox automatically. It's a brilliant thing. So that's it from me. That's it from Leandro. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a fantastic week wherever you are in the world. I will see you next time. Bye for now.